following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you so much for finding the program. If you're new to the program, hey, how's it going? Welcome to the thing. It is the 5th of May. That's the taping date of this. Cinco de Mayo. I mentioned that because I don't know how much bleed through is happening. This studio is pretty well buttoned up. I live real close to a bar that is sort of Mexican. It's Mexican themed. Food's not such a thing, but you know it's okay for what it is. I mean it's here in the neighborhood. At any rate, I'm kind of behind it. And it being Cinco de Mayo, they rope off their parking lot and they have them a big old throwdown out there, and it's all the bros, you know, all the college bros, all the frat bros. Bros before hoes, bro. They're out there having a time. Celebrating the Battle of Puebla. It is not the Mexican Independence Day. That's a completely different deal. It's the Battle of Puebla. Look it up. Just search Cinco de Mayo if you want to learn something. I'm not getting into that today. In fact, it's going to be a lot different. We're going to be speaking German later. What? How are you going to do that? We'll get into that here in a little while. With it being the 5th of May, another reason why I brought it up. Did you happen to see the Kentucky Derby yesterday? I know this is sort of dated and all weird, but they ran the 145th Kentucky Derby in Louisville, Kentucky yesterday. I really used to give a shit about horse racing. Now not so much. I'll explain why here in just a moment, but the winner of the race, Maximum Security, got cheated out of the deal by some crooked track stewards. Yes, I'm editorializing here. It's just my opinion. I watched the wife had taped it, so I didn't see it actually happening live, but I knew what had happened because I'd sort of followed it. It popped up in my news feed a few times and yesterday. At any rate, I finally sat down last night after a few beverages and watched it with the immigrant. And that was the thing. In the first ever history in the Kentucky Derby, the horse, which was the front runner, who finished 1 3/4 lengths ahead of Country House, who was a 65-1 long shot, by the way, was called back. It's as if they had to hunt something down to show that there was something afoot out there. They're accusing Maximum Security and his jockey, whoever that was, of coming off of the rail. He was on the inside. He came off the rail and cut off another horse or two or three. And there wasn't an accident or anything like that, but it was like a blocking type thing, and it knocked a few other horses out of contention. I don't know about you guys, but that's sort of the idea behind racing, don't you think? It's who can get across the line faster, I suppose. I don't know. This horse, Maximum Security, was a strong horse. I think he had a pretty good chance of becoming a Triple Crown winner. He was a heavy favorite. He went off at 4-1, which is pretty good for the Kentucky Derby. But I don't know. Stud fees being what they are, you know, they got to protect the stud fees. Am I insinuating something? Maybe. I don't know. It just everybody I've talked to about it since we saw it over brunch today. The wife and I were talking about it to some friends that we had lunch with, and they all agreed that it was clearly fixed. That's their opinion. ESPN is saying no, it's not. The New York Post is saying no, it's not. These are obviously very clear rules, but there's some questionnaire. It took them 22 minutes to come to the conclusion that there was something wrong with the race, and they didn't light up the objection light on the scoreboard, which you're kind of supposed to do that. And there were 150,000 people in Louisville there at Louisville Downs there, or whatever that is, Kentucky. They were at the track, and then there was all these other people that were watching it on TV unfold, going, "What the hell? What the hell just happened?" I don't know. It was kind of sloppy the way it was handled. I can tell you that. You know, the only horse race it's the only horse race of the year that anybody seems to give a shit about, because it's this fashion thing. It's an excuse to look really ridiculous. Wear white people clothes. Yeah, I said that. Because, you know, there's a company that markets themselves at as the official attire for the Kentucky Derby. It's the one with the pink whale. I'm not going to mention her name. But if you go to their website and you look it up, there's not a person of color anywhere on that site. Man, they market specifically to the white guy and the white chick. And that's what the Derby has kind of turned into. Kind of. I guess it's always been that way. But the whole thing kind of makes me nauseated. It makes me a little sick. It's this fake plasticness of the whole thing. I know there's pageantry and tradition and all that shit that goes with it, but still, it's just a joke because all the people that go to that could give a shit about horse racing. They're just there to be seen. They really are. If y'all were true horse fans, you would study the sport year round. And they don't. I think there's a lot of dirty things that go on in the industry. It's been one of those things like boxing. It's always been sort of dirty. But you know, the Kentucky Derby is the I don't know. It's the thing that sort of cleanses the palate, if you will, of the dirtiness of it. They didn't mention at one point. They never mentioned the 21 horses that died at Santa Anita Park this year alone. They didn't get into that. You know, they're not going to talk about that kind of stuff. You know, because you know we don't want to sully the reputation of such a noble sport as horse racing. Please, what, whatever. If you want to read something on an opinion of which I share, hunt down. The short story, you can find it in The Great Shark Hunt by Hunter S. Thompson. There's a piece in there called and you can probably find it online. You can find the actual story online to read. It's called The Kentucky Derby is Decadent and Depraved. It's a laugh out loud look at what goes on. It has nothing to do with the race. It's just all the people around it. And it's so true. When you read it and you realize the depravity and the decadence of it, it's just astounding. It really is. And nothing has changed in all these years. So, you know, so there. And believe it or not, that is not what I had intended to bring up for this episode. I mentioned we're going to be speaking some German. Yeah, because we're going to be talking about an emotion, a very interesting emotion, Schadenfreude. Yes, we're going to get into that. We'll define it. Everybody knows kind of what it is, but we're going to kind of delve into it a little bit because it's kind of fun to look at. So we'll get into that. So stick around. We've got this fun and more here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Right. Okay. So here it is. There's people. Let me start with this. People in general, human beings, our society, it doesn't matter where we're from, what nationality we are. This has nothing to do with the color of our skin or the shape of our body, our gender. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's just I'm talking about us as a creature. We have a very unique and complicated set of emotions that aren't really shared, as far as we know, by any other creatures on this planet. We tend to take... I love talking about this because it's never really discussed. I love talking about the idea of people who take certain joy in the failure of others. It sounds cruel because it is. It's horribly cruel. I'm talking about Schadenfreude. It's a German word, Schadenfreude. Literally translates to harm joy. It is taking pleasure or self-satisfaction that comes from learning or of witnessing the troubles, failures, or humiliation of another human. That's why the Germans have a word for it, Schadenfreude. And we use it in every other, because nobody else can describe it any better than that. That's a perfect example. Schadenfreude doesn't have a literal, it doesn't have a translation into an American word or an English word. Yes, I did say American word because some of you people don't seem to understand the difference. But at any rate, Schaden is damage or harm. Freude means joy. It works out pretty well that way. And according to what I'm reading here, there's three versions of this, okay? There's the aggression-based Schadenfreude, which primarily involves group identity. So all of you as a group don't particularly like another individual as a group, and then when that one group falls, everybody on the other side goes, yay! We see it in sports. We kind of celebrate it in that aspect. We take great joy in watching the Dallas Cowboys get their heads beat in, for example. To turn a phrase. That's kind of what that is. But that's really more leading into the second form of this, which is rivalry-based Schadenfreude, which is it's an individualistic and related to interpersonal competition. According to this, it arises from humans' desire to stand out from and outperform their peers, being competitive, you know. Another person's misfortune elicits pleasure because the observer now feels better about their personal identity and self-worth instead of their group identity. Right. And then you got this, the third one, which I think is what everybody enjoys. Justice-based Schadenfreude. Freude. It comes from seeing that behavior seen as immoral or bad as is punished. It is the pleasure associated with seeing a bad person being harmed or receiving retribution. Schadenfreude is experienced here because it makes people feel that fairness has been restored for a previously unpunished wrong. When O.J. Simpson, for example, wound up going to prison over a kidnapping charge, of which he is still sitting in now, that a lot of people took the pleasure of knowing that since he'd gotten away from the murder trial, and a lot of people think he did commit the crime. Of course he did. And he got away with it. Now he's in prison for something else. In a way, that's the Schadenfreude thing. We're thrilled about that whole feeling. Hey, yay, he went to jail. It's like Bill Cosby. Hey, yeah, he finally got caught and he's now in prison. It's karma is what a lot of us will sit there and go, well, he had it coming. I feel no pity for this because he had it coming. But see, as much as you would want to tell yourself that you don't, or you tell others, that you don't have this emotion within you, that you're not wired for it, you are. You are absolutely wired for it. And I don't know why that is, but we just are. And I think we get a chance to tickle that emotion by watching certain shows on television. I think that's a good way to look at it, or a movie that has a character that you hate, that you love to hate, and you want to see that character get what's coming to them by the hero of the film. The protagonist is going to come and take the antagonist down, and you get to enjoy that. And it satisfies that there's that satisfaction of seeing that happen. Of course, that's in the justice base, the karmic, if you will. Now the rivalry based stuff and the aggression stuff, I've seen that happen in offices, man, and in studios and newsrooms and places that I've been to, that I've worked in over the years. Lord of mercy, you know, when you watch somebody just kind of, I don't know, fuck themselves out of contention of I don't know, a raise or a promotion or a deal, you don't sit there and go, well, they had it coming to him. You go, yeah, thank God that happened. that guy's a piece of shit. For example, when I was let go from the evil empire, and then I found out later that the people that let me go were all eaten up by the same snake, to me, that was Schadenfreude. I enjoyed that. I did. I enjoyed that. I have to admit, you know. And that was aggressive. It was aggressive based, but that's what this is. We look around us and we have this tendency to say, well, we don't openly talk about it like I'm doing now. We don't really talk so much about this, I don't know, this quirk in our psychology, but that's what it is. It's an interesting quirk. It's sort of amusing, albeit a bit cruel, but that's what we are. Children are notorious for it. You see it all the time. You hear about it constantly. That children, you know, they love to see their peers in the schoolyard, there in the playground. They love to, because children are cruel. Children are horrible little monsters. That's why I don't have any. They're just vicious creatures. Which begs the question: does a dog have Schadenfreude? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Dogs are cool. You know, they just have this, hey, I want to hang out with you kind of thing. If you stub your toe in the middle of the night, the dog's going to look at you like, well, thank God you didn't kick me, but are you okay? You know, let me lick that for you. That's what it is. But we as a society, I think we tend to feed into this emotion a little much. And a lot of it has to do with the pop culture that's going on. We like to see, I think a lot of people like to see, they like to see the underdog do well. They like to see the little guy try, he's been working hard, he's been trying to build himself up and get on top of the pile and be the, and we all root for that guy. It's like, you know, he seems like a really decent guy. He's or girl or whoever. Or, you know, this is somebody who is doing so much to better their lives and to help others that they feel that they can, you know, if I could just help them, I would, you know. And then and we put these people onto this pedestal, especially when they do rise and they do get up there and they get up on top. And what's the first thing we do? We hate them for it. We do. We hate them for it. We want to see them torn down. I have seen this in the past by so many people. I'd sit there and go, I thought you liked this. And they'd say, I did. No, I don't. There's another underdog in there I want to see come up. But as soon as they become on top of the pile, by God, I hope they fail. And I hope they fail spectacularly. That's what this is. At Schadenfreude. It's, like I said, it's an interesting emotion that we have. I don't know. It's very complicated. I mean, I'm making it, making light of it because we all have this. It's sort of the opposite of being empathetic. You know, I really feel sorry for that person. Oh my God, you know, let me help them. Oh, now you're more successful for me. Well, fuck you. I hope you fail. It's like there are some people out there, and we all have those people that we don't like, that we hate. Hate's a strong word, but I know that there's some out there. There's a lot of hatred out there because it's a thing. There are people that you meet that you immediately hate. There's no reason why. There's never been any understanding of that. That has happened to me more times than I care to admit. But not that I have met people that I immediately didn't like. I mean, sometimes your radar goes off and you go, oh, douchebag. Up, asshole alert, look out, the guy's an asshole. You pick up on it pretty quickly, so you learn to maintain your distance. But there are those who, like people who have met me, and I could tell they immediately dislike me. It's just fine. I don't lose any sleep over that, trust me. But it happens, and you can tell immediately, and I don't know if it's reputation. I don't know if somebody has said something, somebody is saying something about somebody else's gossip, they finally meet you and they realize that they have just already decided. They've just decided that they don't like you at all for whatever reason. And when you got that going against you already, if you were at, say, at a party and you met somebody who just immediately took a disliking to you, I just don't like him. I hear that a lot. So what'd you think of Bob? I just don't like him. He's just, I don't know, the way he was eating, he was hovering around the dip bowl. I just didn't like him. I don't know why. I just don't like him. And then if you're that guy, if you're Bob, who now has an enemy in the room for whatever reason, and you do something boneheaded like, I don't know, spill a cocktail or, I don't know, you bump into somebody, knock somebody over, you trip on the way out the door and bust your ass on the sidewalk, and they witness this, they're laughing. They cannot contain themselves. They cannot contain their Schadenfreude. Oh my God, he fell. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yay! Isn't it weird? You know, when I was thinking about what I was wanted to do for the show for today, I don't know why this came up. There wasn't any specific thing. It was just, you know, I guess it could have been triggered a little bit by what we had talked about before with the Kentucky Derby. You know, I'm not a fan of the horse racing industry. I used to be, but I'm not. And it's, I guess, because inside of me, there's that whole, everybody's got that little self-righteousness thing that you want to, that little monkey in a cage. You want to let that thing out every once in a while and go, yeah, fuck all y'all. I'm right. You're wrong. Oh, yay. Something questionable happened at the Kentucky Derby. And I'm taking personal joy in the fact that this happened. Well, it's going to hurt the industry now. Probably not. It's going to raise a lot of questions. But it is interesting, isn't it? I mean, when you when you find, and this is what's fascinating to me, is when you, especially when you come across something or someone or a group that you really, really don't like for no reason at all. You just don't like it. And then something happens. Something makes it, I don't know, they all of a sudden get shown in a negative light for whatever reason, or they've done something stupid. And there's that little hee hee, yes. It's like Peter Lorre. Yes, yes, we finally found our problem. Found a way to, you know, pop it in there. Twist the blade, if you will. Taking joy in the failure of others. Trust me, it's not a pretty thing, but it's not like we can really kind of get around it, you know? It's not something I don't think any one of us can shut off. You try not to. Because I'm like anybody else, or I'd like to think I was like anybody else, in that I genuinely want the best for most people. But notice how I said that. I generally want the best for most people. I didn't say with all people. I said with most people. There are some people out there that really kind of, they deserve whatever kicking they can get. Oh, it's a horrible thing to say. Ted Bundy. Let me just say that. Let's just lay that out there. That's just one that comes to mind because I just saw the film, and I guess because it popped into my head. The one on Netflix was Zac Efron. It's an interesting film. But still, you know, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, you know, these people are people that you just genuinely want something bad to happen to them. Our ruler right now, that guy in the White House, I'm not a fan. I'm really not a fan of the guy, and I'm not here to alienate anybody over that. I do have trouble understanding why some people really, really like the guy, but boy howdy, when he fucks up and fucks up big, I kind of take a little joy into that. He gets caught in a flat out lie, which is easy. It happens all the time with him. You just kind of giggle to yourself about this fool. You know, and look, let's be honest. These are all people. They're all human beings. They have the same, most of them are wired the same like us. You would like to think that most everybody is somewhat compassionate, that somebody is empathetic toward you. Somehow I don't think Trump is. I think he's only compassionate to himself. It's the way it comes across to me. But I'm not here to divide the audience. Y'all are pretty much divided amongst yourselves. But that's just it. That's how this is. When we say that we generally want good things to happen to most people, that's a very human condition. It really is. And it goes back to, like, with the dog, you know? My dog is a good example. Those of you who have met him know him. Duke, the Greyhound. Everybody's dog is like this. Aside from, like, the cop dogs, they're trouble, especially if you're holding, right? They're just doing their job. But a dog is just your buddy, the guy that's hanging around your house. He licks his ass in front of everybody because he can. He generally wants good things to happen to everybody. He doesn't suffer from Schadenfreude. No, because it's an affliction. I do believe that it's an awful emotion. It's desperately cruel and yet quite delicious. It's, you know what I mean? And I mean, it's self-serving to say that there's nothing wrong with admitting that we sort of enjoy that, because that's sort of the whole point, right? That's why we have this emotion, because we enjoy it. It's how far you take it. You know what I mean? If you're one of these people who, let's just put it this way. If you're one of these people who are naturally cruel, right? You say cutting things, you say cruel things about people, you're visibly insulting, your appearance is insulting, and you take joy in the insulting of others. That's a dick move. But what you're doing is you're rolling around in the Schadenfreude. You're taking joy in the fact that you've made people feel repulsive toward you. That's what that is. You know, I say things here and on the air at times that I know are, you know, can be unpopular or somewhat upsetting. I don't do it to offend. I do it to say what people are thinking. I'm one of those guys. I'm not afraid to say what other people are thinking because that's just what you, that's what I do. And I don't do it to piss people off. But if I do, so be it. I don't really take joy in that. I take joy in the fact that I've gotten somebody to think. That is not Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. It's not what that is. I don't sit there when I get off the air or I get out of the studio at the end of the show and go, well, you know, probably pissed off a few people with that one, huh? Good. I don't do that. No, I can't. That's totally different. But, you know, a guy cuts you off in traffic and a cop pulls him over almost immediately. That I take joy in. It's like, well, thank God. Got him. There you go. That's how that works. That little karma for you. You know, it really boils down to something. And it's like, it goes like with the bit that I do with the morning show at Radio Memphis. Don't be that guy. You know, that guy takes great pleasure in Schadenfreude. Like openly, to the point where it's like addictive. That guy is the one who enjoys rubbing people's noses in their own problems. That guy is a dick, is what that guy is. And you just have to, I don't know. Do you point it out to him? You know, how do you handle that? You know, I don't. I just ignore it and just, you know. Well, as I say in the South, God love him. Oh, bless your little pea-picking heart. You hope the best. Generally, you hope for the best. You hope for good intentions for most people. I know, right? I don't know. A little something to think about. Schadenfreude. Let's not trip over it, shall we? Don't be tripping over your Schadenfreude. That'd be embarrassing. Yeah.
Experience the quality that lies nestled within the beautiful valley of the Wisconsin River in Mauston, Wisconsin. Home to the finest traditional tastes and service, all you need to do is visit WisconsinRiverMeats.com to enjoy the old country flavor and style of specialty sausages, smoked meats, jerky, and their famous Landjagers. Listeners of Radio Memphis will receive $10 off their order by simply using Memphis as a coupon code. Wisconsin River Meats even supports our military, and orders placed by our troops will receive free treats from Wisconsin River Meats. No matter where you are, visit WisconsinRiverMeats.com right now and place your order, because they ship worldwide.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Take, for example, the anti-vax movement, which is out there. That's a thing now. And it's because of this, ridiculous permeation of this stupid theory that vaccinations cause autism. You've now got a raging case of measles that has been taking over the country. And in a place the United States has said we eradicated in 2014, 2013, somewhere in there. Hell, there was a whole cruise ship. It was, oddly enough, run by the Scientologists. That was at St. Lucia in the Caribbean. They were denied port access because that island would be destroyed by a case of the measles. And they've eliminated. They said, you're not landing here. God, this shows you the power of what I'm talking about here. It's the power of some ridiculous fake news that gets out there and becomes such a big thing, you can't ignore it.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. I'm about to get on. I got a big show tonight. I know it depends on when you're listening to this, but it's the 5th of May. It's a Sunday, and I have a blues show that I do. I don't talk about it much over here, but I do have a blues show. If you're a fan of the blues, you probably would enjoy it. Radio-Memphis.com. The Booze and Blues Show. This time out is... Doug McLeod, he's a gentleman I haven't met before, and I've heard nothing but fantastic things about the guy. He's a multiple BMA winner. That's the Blues Music Award, which they're in town this week. I think it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's a big weekend, next weekend for it all. But yeah, Doug's coming into the studio. He's quite the player. He's just a fascinating cat, from my understanding. He's from Los Angeles, California. He's moved to Memphis to be a part of the scene here. So we're going to chat with him and have fun. And I've got a bunch of people that are wanting to come down to the studio to see him and meet him. And it'll be big. So I got to kind of put a fork in this one and make my way down to Studio B, as it were. So, you know, one studio to the next. That's how it goes. So there you go. Right. Any other parting words that I can think of? No, I think that's going to do it. Kids, you guys have been great. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for God's sake, man, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.